Prayer is how we connect to reality. And we talked about this last Tuesday, about this, what is the blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm? Like, you and I right now are blessed in all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm. I'm skint. I don't know about you. My car makes a thing, and I'm like, man, I gotta put money at that. And it's going to suck the resources out of my account. That's just how it is. But I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. Is that any good to me? To pay for the car? But is that the measure? Is my temporal well-being the measure of the everything? See, that's where prayer connects us to reality. I say, you know what's real? Is I can't have the wheel fall off my car. That's real. I need to get there. That's real. God help. But reality is everything. And you know what? This stuff, it's all going to burn, folks. It's going to melt like wax as the sky rolls away like a scroll, and this place and this stuff and these vibrations that make solid and air, and what's the other one? Solid, liquid, and gas, right? Splash, splash. That's all going away, and there will be eternal togetherness with God. That's reality. This is a sticky place. This is the uterus with a baby not born yet, that is your life, not yet lived in eternity. Count your 98 years. Count Billy Graham's 99 years, and it was just the little pregnancy of what his life is going to be for the rest of eternity. Can I say that? That's why we care about the baby bump in the mother, because of the 80 years that will follow, plus 15 with a good NHS. But that 100 years is, it's just the tiniest little baby bump for eternity. This here that you're living, this trouble that plagues your life, is not the entirety of reality. God's kingdom is coming and will not be stopped. Do you remember what Daniel Sturgeon preached last week? And reality is firm, and you are in touch with heaven and God in heaven in prayer. It's very important to not get unplugged from the mains and run your battery down. Don't lose sight. Peter's in jail. He's going to die, and these people are praying. And that's what we have going on here. And it connects us to the world that will endure beyond the end of this physical world. We get in prayer to meet with God. In prayer, we stand in the presence of God to talk and to listen. Can you recognize listening in these scriptures that I'll read to you? In Luke chapter 1, the angel answered Zechariah, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." How about here? Can you recognize listening in Jesus saying, "Ask, and it will be given unto you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you." The New Living Translation actually gets the Greek perfectly translated into the English. The New Living Translation of Matthew 7:7 says, "Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you." It is a present, it's ongoing. I have to ask one of the language teachers to tell me what tense that is. Is that present perfect, the ing? Yeah, I don't know. I used to know that when I wrote the sermon. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 says this, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father?" Apart from your Father's care, apart from your Father knowing it. birds die. Anybody ever see a bird die? Like it hits your glass in front of your house and it lays there and you go, oh, right? Or it does, or a pigeon doesn't quite get completely caught by the osprey overhead and it just like falls into the park and you go, oh, right? That when you see it, and you know, if you, it depends on your kid, they either poke it with a stick or they want to save it and bring it to the doctor who's going to make it well, you know. Not one out of all the birds, and all these birds die, you only see like one of them once in a while in your life, they all die, and not one dies apart from God knowing about it. And in prayer, we're talking about being known by God, but also knowing God. Luke chapter 11 has been referred to a lot while we look at the book of Acts and talk about the Holy Spirit. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now Jesus said in John chapter 16, until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Isn't that interesting? And we talked about joy, didn't we, in the Tuesday Bible study. We talked about rejoice. What is joy? What is happiness compared to joy? What is joy? Is joy, can I have joy when the tire on my car is making a little bit of a shudder? I'm using that just as an example. My car is not breaking. I got the wheels aligned and replaced a couple of wheels last week. So that's already done. But when I was thinking about the sermon, it's a good example for you. So don't everybody feel like, oh, the poor guy, you know, he has what he needs. God provides. The point is, joy made full, asking and receiving from God. And Jesus said, I've said these things to you in figures of speech, these parables, all my teaching. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. Do you believe that that time has come yet? When you can know plainly. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I don't say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I've come from God. Loving Jesus. Believing that he came from God. The basis of your relationship with the Father in heaven, who has adopted you as a firstborn male heir, each one of you. And I say that to men and women alike, because that firstborn heir, although in the old days it would have been a son, but each one of us, first in line to receive what God has planned for the one at the head of the queue. Each one of us at the head of the queue. That's strange, but that's what we're talking about. Paul always gives you a bit of a shake. I mean, some people are frustrated with Paul. I'd like to just read the Gospels, if you don't mind. Paul, you know, he says the hard things. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. How is your mind renewed? It's not renewed by watching the BBC report about the life of Billy Graham. How is your mind renewed? You read the scripture, you can know about God. You can know about how God sees you. You can know his general will. Do not do this. Do that. You can. But the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, that good and acceptable and perfect, that's prayer. You can't possibly know if you're not praying. You cannot wing it. If you're praying, the sparks flying off of you as you wing it without prayer are obvious. And you see the symptoms, we all do, in our lives. We see the fruit of the sinful nature. We see, I'm not in touch with God. I'm saying the right thing, but there's a fire burning in me that is the wrong spirit. Do you remember Peter telling Jesus, you will not go to the cross? Don't you remember? I just told you you're the Messiah. And then Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Peter's like, not with Satan. I was going to start a ministry. I was going to hit the road with the I told Jesus he's Christ ministry. And now you tell me I was pulling from the wrong well and this here is poison? Any moment, any soul, any person lined up with God or doing it ourselves. What is the role of prayer in the transformation of our mind that we may test and discern the will of God? That's what's going on, and we're talking about prayer. The Father loves the world, and he sent his Son. Isn't that wonderful? We heard a guy talking Friday, and he was saying, the evangelist in the world, the number one evangelist is not Jesus. And he paused that long. He paused longer. And I thought, well, we could pack up and go. I'm sure it just turned south. I don't think I want to be part of this. And he said, no, the Father sent his Son because he loved the world so much. He is the greatest evangelist. He sent his Son and his Son went. And Jesus went to the cross and he has sent his Holy Spirit. And now we go. And I was moved. I was affected by that man, and he was right. The Holy Spirit living in you, prayerful Christian. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These are the only hope of the world. And who that you know, what people woven into your life are going to be saved because of your living witnesses to these three persons.